Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday, June 5th. Almost 2 years after their arrests, the first sentence has been handed down in the case of a doomsday cult and the deaths of two children on a property in rural southwest Colorado. For the Rocky Mountain Community Radio Exchange, KOTO's Kara Pallone has the story.
District Court Judge Carrie Yoder sentenced 53-year-old Ashford Nathaniel Archer of Haiti to 24 years in the Department of Corrections for his role in the deaths of 10-year-old Michaela Roberts and 8-year-old Hannah Marshall. The two girls were found dead in a car in September 2017 on a property near Norwood, about 30 miles west of Telluride. They're believed to have been banished to the vehicle where they were withheld food and water. Following the sentencing hearing, San Miguel County Sheriff Bill Masters had this to say about the outcome.
I think that the system's working, I would never criticize the judge for being either too harsh or too lenient. Judges have their job to do.
Archer and four other individuals were reportedly living on the farm and awaiting the end of times that they thought would coincide with the total solar eclipse of August 2017. Archer is the first of the group to stand trial. He was convicted in March after a nearly three-week trial held in Montrose County. He was found guilty of two counts of child abuse resulting in death and one count of accessory to a crime. The other four people involved in the case are in various stages of the criminal justice system. At least one has been deemed incompetent to stand trial and is in the custody of the state hospital in Pueblo. The mother of the victims is being held at Gunnison County Jail while she awaits her trial, set to begin July 8th in Montrose District Court. Two others remain in San Miguel County Jail. It's been almost 2 years since the arrests of the individuals, and Sheriff Masters says that there is some closure that comes with Archer's sentencing.
We're starting to. Obviously, we have four more defendants, and so it's going to be a long road. It's already been almost 2 years, and I expect it to go on for several more years, as you just heard that Mr. Archer is going to plan on filing an appeal as well. So it's going to take a long time for this case to be resolved.
Archer was offered the chance to make a statement before he was sentenced. He spoke for nearly 20 minutes. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Kara Pallone.
A top general from Colorado says American interests are increasingly threatened in space. General John Raymond made the remarks before a Senate committee on Tuesday as part of his nomination process to lead a new U.S. Space Command. For the Rocky Mountain Community Radio Exchange, KUNC's Michael DeJuana has more.
Raymond said American access to space and the ability to maneuver freely can no longer be taken for granted. Several countries are developing a range of technologies that counter U.S. interests.
And to be honest, they don't like what they see. And they're rapidly developing capabilities to negate our use of space and to negate the advantage that space provides.
Raymond is the sole nominee to lead U.S. Space Command, which could be headquartered in Colorado. He's currently in charge of a space mission at Peterson Air Force Base. I'm Michael DeJuana.
As spring's bird migration season brings colorful flocks from thousands of miles away to Colorado, citizen scientists are joining a global effort to crowdsource data. Eric Gladys has the story.
Birds are helping scientists understand the impacts of rapid population growth and climate change in Colorado and across the West, thanks to a crowdsourced citizen science project. John Sanderson with the Nature Conservancy in Colorado says when non-scientists capture images of birds and upload them to eBird, a mobile app developed by Cornell University, they're contributing to a growing database that gives scientists and bird fans access to real-time data on populations across the globe.
Birds play critical roles in our ecosystems by eating insects, by distributing seed, and by telling us what changes are happening in these ecosystems.
Sanderson says bird sightings contributed by hundreds of thousands of amateur scientists have helped create a map showing where migrating birds are landing and when they're arriving. He says conservationists and officials can then use that data to prioritize the most important habitat areas to protect. Sanderson says climate change has altered the seasonal cycles of plant and animal life, which can threaten food sources for birds along migration routes when their favorite rest stops are out out of sync with hatching insects, blooming flowers, and fruiting trees. He notes the Swainson's hawk, widely seen across Colorado during the spring breeding season, spends its winters in Argentina.
As that bird's moving from Argentina north, it has to stop in many places along the way and refuel. If it can't find places to stop and refuel, it will run out of energy and not be able to complete its migration.
Sanderson says data from this spring's migration season shows how birds are responding to changing weather patterns and loss of habitat because of development. Rising temperatures have caused birds to seek ranges further north in higher elevations and along cooler rivers, streams, and wetlands. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And in news from the Colorado Department of Transportation, a large boulder that fell onto Highway 145 between Cortez and Telluride will not be blown up and removed. According to the Denver Post, Governor Jared Polis announced Tuesday that his administration has opted not to destroy the 8.5 million pound boulder that destroyed a portion of Highway 145 between Cortez and Telluride during Memorial Day weekend. Instead, the state will shift the course of the highway and make the rock, which is the size of a house, a new landmark. Governor Polis said in a press conference that the decision to leave the rock where it is will save taxpayers about $200,000. Total costs for repairs are expected to run about $1.3 million, some of which will come from federal emergency funds, Polis said. A second, smaller boulder, weighing in at about 2.3 million pounds, was blown up on May 27th, clearing a portion of the highway. And finally, according to a press release, the Colorado Department of Transportation is contracting out to Geostabilization International of Grand Junction and began repairs on 8 walls, one in West Vail and the other 7 along I-70's Vail Pass, on June 3rd. Most of the walls were built over 40 years ago and show the physical signs of wear and tear. This section of the interstate was one of the first projects of highway in Colorado to undergo an environmental assessment as part of the design process. As a result, the ecological footprint of the interstate was minimized, with designs that included a unique concrete wall that would help blend into the natural environment of the Rocky Mountain Corridor. By repairing the walls, CDOT engineers plan to prevent the interstate from eroding, maintain its safety, and to extend the life of the walls that are designed to hold the foundation under the interstate. The wall repair project is expected to go through the end of July 2019 with minor traffic impacts. CDOT reminds motorists not to speed in work zones and to please follow all safety precautions. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday, June 5th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.